You're loving Jesus tonight. You can be seated. All throughout worship, I kept hearing God say, take the limits off. How long are you going to limit me? Come on. Because God is a God of way too much, and all we do is just get enough. Come on now. And if we just get enough, we don't have much to pass on to anybody else. And God wants to fill you to overflowing. He wants fresh oil, fresh fire, fresh zeal. He wants us to get back to the place where we actually believe He can do something. Come on now. Where we're believing believers. Well, if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to go all over the place tonight. But, you know, He's the author and the finisher of faith. We know that. And what God wants to do, again, is He wants to turn some things around. I want to talk again about basically back into dream season, because the problem with most people is they live in only one realm when you're called to live in both realms and occupy them. Because until God opens your eyes, you're just natural. Come on. And so how long are we going to live just as natural people when we're called to be supernatural people? See, I believe your perspective, God is shifting perspective, because I honestly believe we've been out of position to see. And God's like, we're like Zacchaeus, sometimes you have to change position. He climbed a tree because he was a little short. Some of you right now, your life is a little short. So you need to begin to change position so you can see Jesus. Come on. And God is doing something very, very fresh and very, very good. Never be stuck in seasons that you don't understand. Trust Him and move forward. Come on. Too many people, because they don't understand, they're stuck. And usually we don't understand because all God's saying is, trust me. But until we understand, we don't move. That's not good. I believe prophetically, I mentioned it last night, that thing just went off on the inside of me, how we are living in Psalm 126. That literally, that Psalm 126 begins with the people in captivity. Lockdown. Come on now. But when God turned to captivity, we were like those who dream again. Then it says the heathen will say that we're blessed. But see, it started in captivity and it ends in harvest. And I believe that's what 2020 is it began in captivity, but it's going to end in harvest. Come on. And I believe we play a part in that. Come on. Do you believe that? I believe it's time that young people have vision and old people dream dreams. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. You know why? Because without prophetic revelation, we perish. Without a prophetic revelation, without revelation of the Holy Spirit, where it says there is no vision, it literally in the Hebrew says where there is no prophetic revelation, the people perish. When they can't see into the future, they're doomed in the present. Come on. Good preaching, thank you. Let's go to Job 33. We're going to have some fun tonight. I'm going to have enough fun for all of you. Just soak in His presence, soak in His glory. I'm not here, you know, I want to experience Him tonight. You know, I don't want you to just take good notes. I actually want Him to write on your heart. Because if He writes on your heart, other people can read the message. Because you're a living epistle to be read of all men. You know, they don't read your notebook, they read your heart. Come on. But Job 33, this is what I'm believing for. In verse 15, it says, in a dream, a vision in the night, when sound sleep falls on men, when they slumber in their beds, He opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. I honestly believe God's going to begin to give us God dreams again. God visions, visions of the night. Some of the best things can happen while you're sleeping. Because sometimes your conscious mind gets in the way, but when your subconscious is open. You know, many of you heard the story about my son in the science fair and all that, and how he got ripped off that one year. I think it was his ninth grade year, yeah. And you know how people, you know, he walked out of that thing, and everyone that beat him was a project that students bought online. And he spent a couple thousand hours, and his project was better than what they had bought. But you know, so he walked out of there, and he was so frustrated. He said, "Daddy, I'm never doing this again. I'm never going to compete again. I'm not going to do the science stuff again." You know, he's just fed up. Because he had never faced injustice before. That was probably his first time. So he wasn't, you know, that wasn't bad. And I remember the coach in me took over. So I got in his face. And the first thing I told him, I said, "Joey, if you quit, those jerks win." And many times jerks win because we quit. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then I said, "You don't have a right to quit. God gave you the ability and the brains you have. You didn't give yourself that ability. You didn't give yourself the ability to see beyond. You have no, if you bury your talent, God will call you lazy, wicked, and worthless." That's Matthew 25. I said, "Son, you're going back to the same place next year." I began to prophesy. I didn't even know I was going to begin to prophesy, but I was prophesying. And I said, "You're going to go back to the same place, and you're going to do something that none of the judges will understand. And they'll have to send up to headquarters," which was Intel at the time, Intel International Science Fairs. And I said, "They're going to send someone down just because no one down here can understand what you're doing." And during that time, a couple weeks later, he had a dream of an algorithm. You know, I didn't even know Al Gore had rhythm. It was a miracle. You know, if God gave me a dream of an algorithm, it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. Come on now. I mean, you know, but geniuses think differently than me. Come on. But I'm the dad. So my son used to always say, "Dad, don't open your mouth. They're going to think you're smart." But yeah, and it was not just any algorithm. It's the world's fastest algorithm. And he wrote it down. He actually woke up, wrote down what he saw in the dream. And the next thing he knew, he basically did a project based on the algorithm that God downloaded to him. They didn't understand it. So they actually ship the project up, which they do with all the projects, but they send it up to Intel International for them to review. They never really look at those things. But so one of the people at Intel looked at that project, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "We didn't know that could be done. Never seen anything like this." So next thing we know, the vice president from Intel is coming down to Tulsa Science Fair. Wanted to meet my son. The next thing I know, he's on the chart of every high-tech company. But it was a dream. Come on. It was revelation knowledge. It wasn't just that he was smart. It was revelation knowledge. And I believe if we're going to make history, we're going to have downloads from heaven. Come on. We're going to have to dream God's dream. Does this make sense? It says, you know, when God turns to captivity, we're going to be like those who dream again. He said, old men are going to dream dreams. Young men are going to have visions. And God's going to seal it in a dream. I was thinking about the Field of Dreams, the movie, the Field of Dreams, when they kept seeing, he kept seeing this thing. He kept seeing it. And God said, if you build it, they'll come. Well, that is so spiritual, because honestly, that's how you do things. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He said, if you'll do this, I'm going to show up. I'm going to come. If you build it, I'll come. If you build it, I'll make sure it's successful. If you will do what I show you to do, I'm going to do what you can't do. Come on. You get this? God would say, I want to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you ask or think. According to the power at work, he said, you don't have to be that smart. Because all you've got to do is begin to allow the power of faith to operate in you. That's the power. And he said, I'm going to let you see some stuff, but I'm going to go exceedingly abundantly beyond. You know, when Oral Roberts built Oral Roberts University, my wife wrote for Oral for years. And she actually saw the original diagrams made by Oral Roberts about the campus. His original drawings of Oral Roberts University was I think, 7 log cabins. 7 log cabins. And he presented it to the Lord. The Lord said, I got a little alterations to make. Come on now. So it went from being a log cabin university to being Jetson University. You know what I'm saying? Here comes Oral. And, you know, I mean, space that God did exceedingly abundantly beyond. Come on. But he had to do his part. Sometimes you got to do your part, and then God will answer and open up a realm you've never seen before. But until you're willing to do your part, he ain't going to open up anything to you, because why should he show you something if you're not willing to do it? Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. You know what I'm saying? See, we need to understand some things. Everything in the kingdom, without faith, you can't please God. Without faith. Anytime you limit God, you're not pleasing him. He got upset, I believe it was Psalm 78, when they kept asking him, can God do this? Can God do this? And I'll be honest with you, I hear people explain away God's power instead of believing it. Because it's a whole lot easier to be a victim than a victor. It's easier to live in the wilderness than go in the promised land. It is. It's more miserable, but it's easier. It's easier to say it can't be done. It's easier not to do anything. And then blame it on God because, you know, God said, and he didn't do it. He said, no, God said he expected you to act on something so he could do it. Come on. I get tired of people blaming God for things. It bugs me. See, most successful people have two basic beliefs. The one is the future can be better than the present. If you don't believe that, you're in trouble. Because the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter to the fullness of day. It's never supposed to be the best days were behind us. Come on. Best days are always ahead of us. Always. And see, if you don't believe that, you can't succeed. Because you're stuck. And the second thing is, not only do you believe the future can be better, you have to believe you have the power to make it so. Come on. Because if you believe the future can be better, but you're just waiting and you don't believe you have the power, you're stuck. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And see, all the everything's activated by the manifest presence of God. That's where you come alive. You come alive in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, I mean, when you begin that, that's why you were created to worship. You were created for intimacy. Because honestly, it's in that intimacy, God introduces you to you. Not only do you get to know him, you get to know you because you're now in him. See, you know, many of us, we're still stuck to the old you. Even though you're a new creation, all that stuff has passed away, we are still tied to the old. And when God wants to do it, he said, I got to separate you from that. And only is manifest, only the glory of God can separate us. As we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory into his own image. Does this make sense? It's what it's all about as we behold him. And see, what I found out is something. You were born in the original. Don't die a copy, which means don't compare yourself with anyone else. Don't. One of the biggest problems I see in people is they want to be somebody they're not, instead of being who they are. Well, I wish I was like that. Guess what? You're not. See, people would come up to me, always want my son to be like me. They begin to prophesy. You're going to be a preacher like your dad. I felt like smacking them. I said, they don't need another me. You know, I'm one of a kind. I'm original. They threw away the mold. I mean, you don't need it. I mean, honestly, if we all were the same, only I would be needed. Come on. Some of you got that. See, you know that's true. You know. So don't try to be me because you're not good at it. And I can't try to be you. But I can be the best me I ever was created to be. I can be my anointed self. Come on now. I can allow the Spirit of the Lord to come upon me. Say, he's anointed me. Come on. So, you know, I found out something. Once you get real comfortable on who you are, God can use you. Because now you're not trying to impress anybody because you can't. You're not trying to be like that. I do all conferences with so many famous, smooth preachers. You listen to them and you know that even before they got saved, they got all A's in their speech classes. And you have people like me who can't put two sentences together. That's why I'm the king of the one-liners. And I'm up there and I'm looking at these guys, I think, wow, I got to follow that. I remember I was dedicating a church building in Indiana with my former pastor who's now in heaven, Billy Joe Daugherty. Now, I love Billy Joe. But me and Billy Joe are like two different opposite personalities. And I'm sitting there, and Billy Joe went first. And I'm sitting next to the pastor who's a friend of mine. They just dedicated a new building, and I was there too. And you know, the mayor was there, the police, the chief of police was there. I'm hearing Billy Joe be so diplomatic, so nice. And I think, God, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to mess this up. The pastor looked over at me, and he said, just be yourself. I think he said something. I said, really? He said, really? I said, oh boy. So I got up there and I was just trying to be nice, and then the Holy Ghost hit. So I called the mayor up, who wasn't even saved. I prayed for him. Power of God hit him. I mean, he literally went from the front and hit the back wall. He's laid out. Well, now I'm after the chief of police. We are on a roll. And I'm thinking, I hope this is all right. You know, everyone was talking about the church before. I know they would be afterwards. But it's their problem. They invited me. Come on. You know? I mean, it's just, I've learned, I've just got to be me. You've got to be you. And your gift will make room for you in the presence of great men. That's what Proverbs 18:16 is. The problem is when we're not living our dream, there's no room made for us. Because our gift is what makes room. Come on. Understand that. When you operate in your gifting, you know, my son Lassie, he said, Daddy, I've never, ever had to knock on any doors. Think about that. He didn't apply for Google. You know, all these other people were trying to get jobs there. They came after him. He said, all I ever did was develop my gift. And the gift itself has opened so many doors. And in some ways, you know, I hope this, you know, my son is not the smoothest character in the world outside of his gifting. You know, there's not anything other than that that would make him, but people need him. See, your gift is actually your ticket. Come on now. Because when people need what you got, they'll come looking for you. Ask Joseph. I mean, here's he's in prison. Next thing you know, he's prime minister. Come on. I believe if we will develop our gift, we'll be so happy. And we will be so blessed. I believe God's already put the seed of blessing on the inside of us because it's blessing for other people. Come on. Does this make sense? You begin living as a part of God's dream team with his dream seed on the inside of you, and everything begins to change. See, you need to live by faith, not by fate. Fate accepts a negative report without a fight. That's what fate does. Fate says, no, you don't fight it. The doctors say you're going to die. You accept it. Faith decides you're going to do what God says. Sometimes fate says, lock yourselves in. Go into hiding. And there's a time when that can be prudent. But then there comes a time you've got to get out of hiding. Come on. And that's when you have to make the decision. Okay. I wasn't sure to begin with, so I did this because I wasn't 100% sure, but now something's changing on the inside of me, and I know it's time to come out. Sometimes it's time for the church to come out of hiding. Come on now. Let your light shine. Let your voice be heard. Be silent no more. Get bold as a lion because we're right. Come on. Because honestly, the fate of this nation is tied to our faith. You know, we determine the fate of this nation. And you know, if you have faith, you're going to fight. It's a good fight of faith. You're going to fight for the kingdom of God to be manifest, the will of God to be manifest on earth. And you have the ability literally to speak. And it's time for the church to start prophesying life. Prophesying life. Stop talking about what is in this community and start talking about what should be in this community. Calling things that are not yet here as though they are. Talk about progress. Talk about a vision. Talk about, you know, talk up, not down. Come on. Because there'll be some people that will grab hold of your words and will pull them right up. It's time that, honestly, we talk that way all the time. One thing we taught our son from the day he could talk, you never speak where you don't want to end up. Your tongue is a rudder. So you don't talk defeat, you don't talk this. You don't badmouth yourself, and don't badmouth people. Can't talk faith, don't talk. That's pretty tough. But he'll know that. He'll tell you. He said, you know, if my son was here, he'd say, can't is the worst word. He said, it's worse than any other cuss word. You know, when he was at Washington University in St. Louis, They have dorms that have different themes there. And honestly, there was a Christian, at least, part of a dorm was a Christian dorm. And he said, Daddy, I could not live in that section because they were way too negative. Way too negative. So actually, the section he lived, it was in the positive thinking section. Now, a lot of them were believers, but not all of them. But he said even the unbelievers believed more, like I did, than the believers, the so-called believers in the other section. Because they were the doomer and gloomers. And he said, I can't do that because I'm a bloomer. If you can't be a bloomer when you're doomer and gloomer. Come on now. Do you know what I'm saying? Because honestly, your tongue, you're always prophesying your future, whether you know it or not. You want to check where people are? Just hear what they're speaking. And I can guarantee you what they're speaking is what they're listening to. Faith comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing. Miracles come by hearing by faith. That's how they come. Galatians 3:5. Miracles come as we hear by faith, and all of a sudden our faith is built up, and with faith, those that believe, nothing's impossible. So I'm always looking for believing believers, because then we can change the world. And believing believers are going to move with God. Does this make sense? See, faith is the language of the Spirit. It sees through obstacles and over mountains. It believes the best and hopes unswervingly. And when you're really a believer, you honestly understand that Jesus is the high priest of your confession. And see, when you believe you receive something, that's your confession is your address. So God actually always sends the answers to faith address. But if you get out of agreement with that, you moved. It didn't mean God didn't send the answer. You just got out of position to receive it. Come on. I'm going to help you. I won't take the limitations off, but most of the limitations are between your ears and in your mouth. It's true, you know. See, if you're going to walk with God, you got to be in agreement with Him. Two can't walk together unless you're in agreement with Him. So God will never leave you nor forsake you, but He is not going to manifest in unbelief. He's not. Many times I can hear God say, I wish they'd let me help them. You know? And I honestly believe God wants to change the way we think, change the way we talk. Where all of a sudden, we should be the most positive people on the face of the earth. I mean, I go in the bank, and everyone said, here comes the happy preacher. Well, the happy preacher. Because they think all the rest of us are sad. You know, they said, you're always in a good mood. They always ask me, say, how are you doing? I said, I'm always doing good. They said, you're always doing good? I said, yeah, I made that decision 30 years ago. And sometimes I have to just remind myself of the decision I made. Because I have to tell my feelings how I feel. He always leads me in triumph. He's always working on my behalf. He's always working everything together for me for good. If I honestly believe that God works all things together for good, I don't have a reason to get upset when something bad happens. Because I can trust Him to turn it for good. I have to catch myself and say, God, that hurt. But I'm believing You're working this, that this is actually going to be produce something for me, not against me. That what the enemy meant to take me out, God's going to use to put me over. Come on now. When you have that type of mentality, you don't go into the pity party very often. A party with a pit. You just don't do it. And all of a sudden, and the Bible says, let His praises continually be on your lips. I found that if we're continually praising God, offering up continually a sacrifice of praise, you want to cause the devil pain and conniptions. When he takes his best shot, you begin to worship. You begin to praise. It confuses him. Totally confuses him. It confuses him when he hits you, and instead of you losing your joy, it seems like more joy is coming forth. But you got to know something. You got to know God's going to work it for good. You're going to know that you're going to come out of this thing lacking nothing. You got to know in the middle of the trial, if you've seen the end, it's easier to believe in the middle. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I live by that. I live by faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. You know, if you're thrown into prison, praise Him. You know, there have been times in my life it's just been a major sacrifice of praise. And I found out something about faith, too. Anytime faith recognizes Jesus, it's going to call out. It's like Bartimaeus. I don't like calling him blind Bartimaeus because he should have been known as healed Bartimaeus. But when Jesus came by, once he heard Jesus was there, he couldn't see him yet. He began screaming, Jesus! And you know, the disciples tried to shut him up. Religious people always try to shut you up. The most negative people on the face of the earth are some of Jesus' disciples. I hate to say that. But they're the religious people. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't break all the rules. Well, Jesus was known as a rule breaker. Come on now. He didn't heal at the right time. He didn't do things that they thought he should be doing. Come on. I mean, he was kind of a rebel. You know that. You know that. I mean, there was something about Jesus where you know, he didn't play by everybody else's rules. And yet he was doing exactly what the Father wanted him to do. So if you're doing what God wants you to do, it's okay to break the rules. You know? Now, don't do what I do a lot. I used to. I like going fast. I think there should be two speeds, fast and faster. Nothing bugs me worse than a pokey. You know what I'm saying? You get behind someone driving. It's like a 50-mile-an-hour zone. They're going 25 or something, you know. And you're sitting there, come on, come on, come on. I mean, even the Amish people are passing them on the other side. You know, it's really sad. Well, you know, don't have that problem with me. I used to have this major problem. Thank God for cruise control, or I wouldn't have a license. Because I have to set the cruise or forget it. I mean, I remember going 95 miles an hour through a neighborhood, and I didn't even know I was speeding. I just had worship music going, but I had this one thing where police would always pull me over. So I developed a ministry to policemen. So they would pull me over. They said, you know how fast you're going? I said, no, I bet you do. And they rolled down the window. That was back, you know, in those. I'd roll down the window, and I first thing I'd say to the policeman, it's obvious God wants me to talk to you today. They'd have this little shock look. When I was driving back, I don't know why I'm on this, but I was driving back when I took my son out to California, and had this big Suburban, I mean, huge Suburban. I loaded most of his stuff. And on the way back, I wasn't speeding. In fact, because I kept it on the cruise. And I was going to Texas, and I was going only like 3 miles above this. I was speeding, but 3 miles above. Come on. You know, that don't count. Especially in Texas, where if you're not going 20 miles above, you are, you're pokey. I mean, I was in a slow lane. Everyone's passing me. Next thing I know, this police guy comes up, and the lights are going. I'm thinking, I'm not speeding. But then I remember I used to get pulled over all the time. I used to ask people, I said, why did I get pulled over? They said, because when you have a rental vehicle and you're going between states, a lot of times they can't check the plates and they think you may be running drugs. So usually they have a little doggy in the car. And sure enough, they did. So the guy pulls over and he said, you were speeding. I said, come on. I said, you know better than that. I know better than that. You're looking for drugs. I know. Hey, bring Fido over here, okay? So he said, well, we have to check your vehicle. And he opened it up and had that huge thing in the middle there. When I had my Bible, I had a big Bible in that one, actually. And I had like one other thing because everything else was Joey's in the thing. And he pulls the thing open and he said, his eyes got real big. He said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. And he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I called it in, so I have to give you a warning, but it won't go against the license. And I looked at him, I said, I got to give you a warning too. He said, what? I said, I have to give you a warning. Because he told me, he said, I have to give you a warning. I'm just doing my job. So I looked at him, I said, I have to give you a warning. I said, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I said, I'm just doing my job. He looked at me and said, I'm a believer, so, you know, it's okay. But, you know, make the most of every opportunity. But I've learned, you know, I've learned with God that faith doesn't need to be silent. It doesn't. You believe, therefore you speak. You believe, therefore you speak. Most of you have not because you don't talk. Some of you have not because you talk wrong. Some of you don't have because you won't talk right. You don't call things that are not as though they are, so all you have is what is. Come on. And you better call whatever you need according to your calling. See, every one of us is called, which means every one of us has to call. Come on. And we have to call according to what we're called to. Come on. Does this make sense? I'm going to help you whether you like it or not. You know, I will. See, praise is the entry point to the miracles. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. The closer you get to God's presence, what I found out is anywhere there's a miracles that anywhere revival's ever broken out, you'll find out the praise is off the charts. Always. Because God's enthroned on the praises of his people. I mean, I was watching my son's worship team right before I usually do it before I preach, because they just push my button, man. They just did a prophetic session where all, you know, they had no idea what they were going to sing. They just got together and jammed in the Holy Ghost. It was some amazing things. I mean, it just pushes my button, and God just comes in on waves. See, I want to see God come in this area on waves. Come on now. Wave upon wave upon wave, where people may not even know it. But man, what is that? What is that? I've never experienced anything like that before. What is going on? Because in that atmosphere, blinders come off of people. God begins to reveal himself. You know, I've learned, man, you know, if I'm always praising him, I can't really be complaining. Come on. And see, God, you're a speaking spirit. You need to, just like Jesus said, you know, God, like God said, light be, you need to say whatever needs to be that you need. Come on. You need to speak things into being. See, Noah preached deliverance and he received it. He spoke it before he received it. Think about that. Moses decreed the plagues before they came. Elijah decreed both rain and drought. Joshua commanded the sun to stand still. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talked about their deliverance before they were thrown into the fire. Come on. David talked to Goliath about his defeat. Not David's defeat, but Goliath's defeat. Come on. Before the battle ever took place, Jesus proclaimed his resurrection before the cross. See, if you're not speaking the outcome, then the outcome may not be the outcome you want. I was criticized in Tulsa when I would have all my kids, my teenagers, talk about, you know, they'd go around and say, we're the best youth group in town. We're the best youth group in town. We are the best. See, a lot of people think that's arrogant. But, you know, and I'd have youth pastors say, your kids are so arrogant. I said, they're confident. And I said, it's the truth. No brag, just fact. And a couple of years later, they all said we were the best. But the bottom line is, I told him, I said, your kids should be saying you're the best too. And if you're not the best, you should repent so you can be the best. You should be the best you can be. But I wasn't going to say, we're a bunch of losers. Us four no more. I'm not going, you know, I wasn't having them bad mouth it. We were going to change Tulsa, whether anyone else was or not. We were going to change it. And it started with our mouth. Started with our mouth. Come on. Does this make sense? I want you to understand there's a miracle in your mouth. See, you know, if you'll yield to God, you can decree a thing, it'll become established to you. But we have to yield to God and say what God is saying. I don't think my son was being arrogant when he's telling people he had a $1 billion brain as a little kid, walking around, I got a $1 billion brain. I got a $1 billion brain. As a 7-year-old, he was saying it. But as a 21-year-old, he was living it. And I don't think he'd be living it had he not said it constantly. He's lived in agreement with God. See, you're kind of an oddball when you live by faith. But what happens is you when you live by faith, you can impact everyone around you. You're a lifter. You're a lifter. I go to the bank. They say as soon as you walk in, the atmosphere changes. I said, that's right. That's right. They said, you just light us up. I said, that's right. Because I'm the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. I don't want to walk into a place and have people get depressed. There's some preachers I don't want to get around. I don't want to get around them. Because I have to take a bath afterwards. I mean, it's like, you know, they're whiners and complainers. And I said, not me, man. Not me. I always expect to win. I always expect to come out on top. See, Jesus, you know the Pharisees didn't like it when he said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. Who does he think he is? He hasn't gone through the hierarchy. He hasn't gone through the system like we have. Who does he think he is? No, who does he know he is? Come on now. Some of you speak about yourself the way you were spoken of, but by your parents you were labeled, and you accept that label. That's a sad thing. Does that make sense? See, you're going to find out if you're going to live a life where you always have the more abundantly beyond, exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can ask or think, you're going to see that there's a cycle. God speaks, the devil attacks, then God comes through if you hold on to faith. God speaks, you hold on to what he says, and next thing you can almost guarantee is the devil's going to attack what God said. It's going to be tested. And if you'll just hold on to that, stay on the word, then God will turn it and God will come through. Because it seems like in life you have an appointment, then you have a disappointment. You know? And they seem to come pretty close together because immediately the devil comes. So you can have a real high point and a real low point, right? Right at the same time. You know, you think about Joseph had a dream. Next thing you know, he's sold into slavery by his own family. That's not good. That's really not good. But you know something? He held on to it. So you have an appointment, a disappointment, but then you're in the midst of disappointment, you trust God. If those who trust in the Lord shall not be disappointed, which means they're not going to live there. Doesn't mean they won't experience it. It just won't live there. A curse causeless does not alight. It won't stick forever. Come on. So it goes from appointment to disappointment, to back to God's appointment. Come on. It always ends up. It's a cycle. And if you're not willing to fight giants, you don't go in the promised land. If you can't take the fire, you'll live in the wilderness. Come on. Does this make sense? See, God chose and appointed and anointed you for his purpose. You're chosen, you're appointed, you're anointed. So don't disqualify yourself by the way you talk. God's always correcting his servants on how they talk about themselves. Always. You look throughout Scripture. He had to tell Jeremiah, don't say that. Don't say you're just a youth. Don't talk about yourself that way. Come on. He had to tell Moses, again, who formed your mouth? Stop talking about what you don't have. Stop talking about that. He had to tell Gideon, you're a valiant warrior. And he had to literally ignore when Gideon said, I'm the least of the least. See, until God cleanses your mouth, you don't go any further than your lips. You can't be a dream, you can't have your dream fulfilled until your mouth is cleansed. You can't. See, no one can disqualify you from a God appointment but you. Because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The devil can't stop you from getting where to where you're supposed to get. Can't do it. Don't blame it on the devil because you already have authority over him. Come on. And every one of you is going to have the trust test. Those who trust in the Lord shall not. All throughout my life, I've had to pass the trust test. It doesn't look this way. I'll be honest with you. Many of us, we have been living in disappointment as a way of life, even though we, at times we're saying the right things. Because it's not just what you're saying. What are you expecting? Are you expecting the things that you say will come to pass? See, my son always expected the billion-dollar manifestations. He expected that. When God showed him he was getting a perfect score, SAT, ACT, he expected to do it. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, he had to put feet to it. He's the hardest worker I've ever been around, but it's the grace of God working through him. And every one of you, you have a passion. When that passion hits, you got to just keep that fire going, fire going, fire going, fire going. The deal is still on. Don't shrink it. Don't shrink it. Don't think you can't have an impact like you could 20 years ago. If you did, you're limiting what God can do for you. Age is not a factor because honestly, whatever age you are, it's got to be the perfect one because that's where you are. Come on. Learn to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Learn to live by what he showed you on the mountaintop. Build according to that. Don't build according to your feelings. Build according to your faith. Come on. Does this make sense? Learn to live from the inside out and you'll be content wherever you are. If you live from the outside in, you'll be fairly miserable because the outside's always changing. That's why you can be the same person in the midst of the storm. I have people all say, they say, I've never been around you. He says, sometimes I just can't read you. They say, a lot of people think, I've never been through anything. Because as a whole, I'm the same in a storm as I am when everything's going great. You know, now people very close to the storm knows what's going on. But people on the outside, they don't have a clue. They say, why? I said, because he's the same God. Good times, bad times, I worship him. You know, sometimes I count it all joy, sometimes it is joy, but either way, joy. Come on. You know, years ago God told me, he said, you can worry when I do. So that kind of took care of that. Come on. But see, Tribulation works patience. Patience gives way to proven character. Guess what? There are things in your life, you know, I've been proven. Some of you have been proven. You're still here. That means you're proven. I mean, if you weren't proven, you wouldn't be here. You've been through a lot of stuff. You may not be where you want to be, but you've been through a lot of stuff. And if you've been through the fire, you've been through the flood, you might as well get to the wealthy place. You might as well get to the place of victory. Come on now. I mean, I don't want to waste all that suffering and not have everything that goes with it. I guarantee you. Come on. I don't want to waste it. You know? I'm not waiting until I get to heaven to experience what God told me I could have on earth. Does this make sense? See, God appoints and He doesn't disappoint. Corrie Ten Boom once said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, don't throw away your ticket and jump off. Just sit still and trust the engineer. That's a lot of things. Because a lot of times, there are times you don't know what's going on. Everything gets a little dark. It doesn't make sense. Just trust the engineer. Trust he knows how to get you through this thing. That you'll come out of it lacking nothing. Don't jump off the train. Come on now. Because, you know, so I always told people, those people that didn't quit, they're going to be so happy with what's coming. See, and during this time, what I've learned, if you're going to be successful, you have to be childlike. You know, well, I love hanging with my son because my son may have, well, he does have one of the highest IQs in the world. He's the smartest person I've ever met. You know, and I've had professors say that. WashU has the highest IQ of any university in the world, the average student. You can look that up on the internet. And the professor said, we've never had anyone like this. Never. And yet my son is brilliant and he's childlike. And I love the childlikeness because I honestly believe that's the balance in his life. It's a balance. It's a balance. It's a balance to be as technically perfect as you can be, and develop your gift as well as you can be, and still stay with a childlike wonder. You know, when my son was applying for college, and I've learned a lot. I trained him. Now he's training me in a sense. He trains me by the fact that he actually picked up what we trained him to do, and he's doing it. And it's like, oh, that's how you do that. But when he was applying to college, they asked, what are the two words that best describe you? And he said, that's easy. And he wrote a thing on the words, what if? He said, throughout my life, I'm always asking what if. If this is true, what if? If this is true, what if? If this is true, it's always the next level. What if? What if? What if? What if? He always knows, you know. And that's what the professors say about him. They say, we can teach what is. We can even teach the newest thing that is. They said, the thing is, once your son learns it, he's already teaching us what the next level is. And he said, most people can't go to the next level because they're not seers. Come on. Because they have a lid on. They have a lid on what is right now, not what if. Come on. What is the next? And many of us, we've got to take the lid off so that we can go to the next level. Come on. So we can see what has never been seen before, so we can do what's never been done before, especially in this area, because a lot has not been done yet. See, when you live your life alert and alive and present and receptive and wide-eyed, with wide-eyed wonder and childlike faith, you begin to see the glory of God. You begin to listen to words of faith. And you tear the roof off. You find ways to get things done. So most people, when they see an obstacle, think it can't be done. And God knew there'd be obstacles anyway. He knew there'd be a wall. He said the wall would fall. He knew that he knew when the guys that took the lame man to get healed, he already knew that the house would be full. And what did they do? They said, we're going to make a way where there is no way. They went on the roof and cleared out the roof and lowered them in. And Jesus, seeing their faith, healed them. So there's something about that tenacity on the inside of you. Say, I will not be defeated. I will not. I'm not going to quit, and I will not be defeated. I will not be denied. Come on. See, if you're going to go to the next level, you can't give up just because there's obstacles. You can't. Desperate people do unconventional things. They do. They scream out when they're not supposed to. They're like Zacchaeus. They climb trees. Come on. See, when you live in in receptivity, your desire will be greater than your obstacles. If your desire is not greater than your obstacles will stop you. Come on. How badly do you want it? Some people knock once, and if the door isn't open, they stop knocking. Yet the Bible says, keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking. He said, the door will be open. He said, you'll receive, and you'll find. See, some of us, we need to pay attention, because attention brings retention. You need to pay attention to the Word so it becomes a part of you. And then retention also brings intention. It changes the intent of your heart. God's Word will judge the intent of your heart and even change it. Come on. And intention, when the intention's right, it brings conception. God wants to bring us to a level we've never been before. God wants to take you to take the lid off. God's doing something new. He's doing a new thing, and he wants to do it through you. Come on. He's going to make rivers in the wilderness. He's going to do something in this area that's never been done, and you are called to be part of it. You are called to be part of it. You are called to make history. He knew you'd go through all the things you've been through. He knew your history. But he said, I'm still going to make history. I'm still going to do it. He found Moses on the backside of a wilderness and said, the deal's still on, Mo. You're still the deliverer. Now you do it my way. Come on. He had to tell him he was too old. Not too old. He had to tell Joshua, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now it's your turn. You stop just talking this stuff and start walking it. I don't know about you. I believe the future is now. I believe we need to take ground now. I believe that God can do more in one day than we 1,000 days elsewhere. I believe that honestly God's going to make up for the wasted years if we'll grab hold of him. And once you become totally sold out, I honestly believe in the all-in maxim. People that read my Facebook, I'm constantly all in. I have churches now around the country that I work with, and they have banners, all in, we're all in, we're all in, we're all in. And I picked up my son's church. That's how they greet each other. We're all in. That reminds them. Jesus is Lord. We're all in. We're not playing this thing. We're all in. I think it's time to get all in. I really do. And I don't mean just in church attendance. I mean being the church, being a witness. Come on now. Letting your light shine continually. That we're all in on this thing. We care. We're not perfect, but we're all in. Come on. Because I don't want to do anything half-hearted. You can't win half-hearted. You don't get anywhere till you're sold out to it. Many times, earlier on, we were all in, but we had a lot more energy to be in. Now you can't do it on the energy of the flesh, so you're going to have to depend on God. See, God's about ready to do that. He wants us. He wants to multiply things. He wants to increase you 1,000-fold. There are things he showed you years ago. He said, I still want you to be part of that. Some of you, when you came in here, this is a different place, because you get to a believing place, you're no longer limited. And many of you, God is literally blowing the limitations off. And sometimes he just has to get us out of the cobwebs. Back in the place with fresh fire. And say, I don't know. God, whatever you show me, I'm willing to do. God, if you're doing a new thing, I'm doing a new thing. Because whatever you do, I want to do. Come on now. Lord, I've always done it this way, but you want to do it that way? Well, at least I'm going to try. I'm going to at least try. I don't know how this is going to be the first time I do it, but I'm willing to try. I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to go in a whole different direction. Lord, you show me how to reach the next generation, and I'll do it. You stretch me, God, so show me what bait I have to in order to win the lost. Because time is short. See, if you're a rescuer, you have to rescue. If you're a deliverer, you have to deliver. This is not a time for fooling around. It's the most serious time I've ever been around, yet I'm having fun in it. Because I want revival. I want to see it. And I have some churches that are bursting at the seams, but I want to see this area overflowing. I want to see new businesses, new opportunities. I want to see the church begin to influence every area. A kingdom church, a kingdom mentality church, where we don't fit in, we take over, and we take over by basically providing opportunities for people who can't see until they can see. Come on. Birthing vision everywhere. Because the number one call to a believer is you must be born again to see the kingdom. To see the kingdom. Most people are born again, but they haven't been born again strong enough to see anything. You have to believe to see the kingdom of God. You have to believe it. You have to believe that if you'll be faithful in little, God will make you faithful over much. You have to believe that the God inside of you can use you to change whatever area you're assigned to, that you're called to rule and to reign. And you're going to have to cast down every thought, every imagination that's contrary to that. You're going to have to fight against your own history, your own track record. Well, if it hasn't happened by now, well, it hasn't. That's why God said in Joel, he's going to make up for the wasted years. He knew there would be a lot of people where it hadn't happened by now. And he said, I'm going to make up for all those wasted years, all those years where you seemed to do the right thing, but nothing seemed to happen. Does this make sense? I don't know about you. I hear the war cry. How many of you hear a war cry in your spirit? You hear it. You say, God, it's time. It's time. It's time that we take back what the devil's stolen. It's time to get our schools back. It's time to take our land back. It's time to go after the lost aggressively without beating them up. But literally loving the hell out of them in a nice way. That's really what it is. Showing them a better way. Showing them a better way. I'm so contagious. I am. I'm contagious. That's really hard to say nowadays. I feel like shouting everywhere. I'm contagious! And I don't have a mask. No. I actually have one in my car, honestly. I do wear them sometimes. And some people have to wear them. I understand that. But the bottom line is I like letting know people, I'm contagious with Jesus. You hang around me long enough, you're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. You know, I mean, Paul was contagious to such a degree that King Agrippa said, if I hang around you any longer, I'm going to become a Christian. Get out of here. I'm just contagious. I want everyone to be just like I am. I'm ready to put on the full armor of God and fight. I'm ready to present myself as a living sacrifice to see this thing done. What I'm asking you is, how many of you are all in on this thing? How many of you honestly say, I'm taking the lids off. I'm taking the lid off. God, I'm taking the lid off. God, I'm asking you to renew my mind. I want to think younger. I don't want to think like most people my age think. Because most people my age think on the terms of we're going to glide. You know, we're in the sunset of our life. Well, I'm still in the sunrise. Come on now. I've opened the window eastward, and the sun rises in the east. It sets in the west. I'm going to be fruitful to the day I die. I'm going to bear much fruit. Come on. And I'm going to stay as young as I possibly can on the outside and inside. You know? But I, you know, all I know is I'm sold out for the next move of God. I am absolutely, I've given my life to this thing. Why not end it in a burst of glory? Why not? Why not go out with thinking, woo! Instead of just fizzling. You know, this locking was good for me. I mean, locked up for 2 months. You got to be kidding. Because are you going to retire? Never! Never going to retire. Never. Never, 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 never. I'm just too much on the move. And see, people, they say, what do you do for fun? This. This is really what I do for fun. I'm really a boring guy other than that. So this is what I do for fun. You know, I don't have a whole lot of hobbies. This is what I do for fun. I like traveling. I like seeing people. I like touching people. I like moving. I like doing a lot of talking. Most of you know that by now. So but how many of you today say, God, I'm in. I'm in. I'm taking the lid off. There are things God wants you to call. He wants to call. He wants you to call some natural stuff because he wants you to have it. He wants you to use your faith in everything. It didn't say, the just shall live by faith when they're doing spiritual things. No, it just said, just shall live by faith. My son uses faith every day. He uses faith every single day to bring in money. That it's not even for him. It's not like I have this need. No. He has his need is basically to meet the needs in the world. Because it's his assignment. So he said, Daddy, I very rarely have to believe anything for me. If I was just living for me, he said, you know, I wouldn't need any of this stuff. You know? But he said, when you're basically, your whole life is God get to me, get through me. He said, I have no problem negotiating huge amounts of money. Because I'm not wasting it on myself. So it's a whole lot easier for me to do that because it's not selfish. He said, the residue I live well on. Sometimes God forces him actually say, I want you to do this for you. Oh, okay. That's okay. That's his calling. But every one of us, we have to start calling according to our calling. Does this make sense? If you get nothing else I say, call according to your calling. Because every one of you, you have something you need to call. You need to keep speaking, call it forth. Because it's not, it's bigger than you are. You know it is. It's bigger than you are. It affects everybody. It's bigger than you. And if you do that, I guarantee you, God makes sure every one of your practical needs are met. Money's never been an object for me. I never have served money, never. Never. I've walked away from huge paying things. You know? But when I need it, it finds me. Because I seek first the kingdom and all these things are added to me. You know? How many of you today, you want the lids off? I believe there's an anointing to take the lid off. Take the lid off. Take the lid off. Take the lid off. Some of you, you grew up with a lid on. And you still have parts of that. You've been set free from some of it. But God wants to set you free from all of it. He doesn't want you to say, well, this is the way our family's always been. This is the way it's done. You're a brew baker. That makes you this way. You're a whatever. No, you're a Christian. Come on now. like father, like son. Come on, like father, like daughter of the Most High King. You know, you're royalty. Come on, you're different. You have a new DNA. You have actually an inheritance already given. Don't you think you don't have the favor of God? Because God always, relatives always leave their inheritance to their favorite. You got an inheritance. So you are God's favorite. Now stand up where you are, because there's an anointing in this place. And the Spirit of God is going, literally, lids are coming off, lids are coming off, lids are coming off. Our lid of thinking, our smallness of thinking is going. Our smallness, we got big God, we got big God. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond, exceedingly. Don't settle for less when God's called you to more. And don't even settle for what you think you need. Ask God what you need. There are times in my life I've asked God. I said, God, what do you want me to believe for? And he told me, I said, I don't need that. He said, yes, you do. Well, I didn't need it for me. And I didn't even know I needed it when he asked me to ask for it. But when a couple of weeks came by and a certain needs came up, I had already received what I needed to receive that wasn't for me. But it was through me. I had to receive it because they weren't in a place to do it by faith. I was. So when the need came, I was able to meet their need. I was able to be, in a sense, their miracle, their connection. Until their faith is at that point. And right now, we are taking limits off, God. We're taking limits off of what you can do in our life, through our life, in our family's life. We are no longer bound by history. We're going to make history. We're calling things that are not as though they are. We are going to believe God for the healing power, the glory of God. This is a new season where God's going to descend on this area. Our gifts are coming alive. Our callings are coming alive. You're breathing once again a fresh fire on the inside of us. And God, you are going to increase our influence, our realm of influence. You're opening doors. You're opening new doors. You're opening new doors. God, you've given us the key. You've given us the key to this city. So we're going to take it. You've given the key to the region. So you're going to take it. Some of you, he's giving you keys that he gave you the keys of the kingdom. Many of you have keys on that keychain you have never discovered yet. And they're going to unlock things that you didn't even know you possessed, and you already have the key to it because you're the owner. But God's going to reveal it. We're entering into a realm of revelation knowledge like never before. Downloads for heaven, the glory of God. Some of you, the glory of God's going to get all over your body and everything's going to begin to work right. Because healing is your bread. And in his presence, there's healing power. In his presence, there's provision. In his presence, there's breakthrough. Some of you, your families that have been running from God are going to run right into them. And this time they're not going to be able to escape his grasp because his hand's not so short it cannot save. Come on. This area is about ready to turn. And part of the turning comes through our mouth. Because as we release what God is saying, they're servants, there's angels, they're literally assigned to this area, and they're literally assigned to the words of our mouth. They're waiting for the voice, because your inheritance is voice activated. And it's your voice. Your inheritance cannot be unlocked by anyone else's voice but yours. So what are you speaking? What are you believing? What are you going to grow into this year? Faith to faith, glory to glory. This is going to be the most glorious year yet if we'll believe. Turning not only captivity, but ending up in harvest. Enemy is really going to wish he never woke the sleeping giant. Something's happening in here right now. I can sense the presence of God. Some of you, God's going to revisit things he showed you years ago and said, it's time, it's time, it's time. The future is now. The future is now. But the Lord's been really dealing with me. He said, it's time to do it. You can't talk about it. You got to walk it. Then you need to talk it, but walk it at the same time. Take the steps you can take, but keep talking. And he said, when you release the words, I'll make a way where there is no way. I'll clear it in front of you. According to your words, I'm going to clear. I'm going to make a path. Come on. I'm going to clear this thing out. But you have to keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, keeps prophesying. Keep calling what you need. He said, if you'll call it, I've already told you I'd send it. The moment you spoke, I heard. But before you called, I answered. So the answer is already there, waiting for your voice so I can send it. Come on. Something's breaking in here right now. There's a breakthrough in the house. 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 This place is going to start getting a little wild again. Wildfire, wildfire, wildfire. You know something? Jesus is breaking in so that revival can break out. Expect an increase of influence. Just expect it. God will actually, if you're a light, he'll exalt you so that more people can come to the light you're carrying, as long as you're not ashamed of the light you're carrying. We've seen it in our lives. We've seen it again in our son's life. He was honored as one of the top employees at Google Worldwide last year. And everyone knows he's a believer. He said, Daddy, I'm not ashamed. I'm just not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. And he said, there's only one government I'm trying to please, and it's not this one. I got a king. I got a king. How many of you got something tonight? You can feel it. How many of you God's going to give you some dreams. You better write it down. God's going to begin to give you some next steps, right? I mean, when God told me right yesterday, I did a lot of writing. When he said, you need to write things down, I started writing again. I had things scattered before, but I actually began to redefine a lot of stuff yesterday when he began to speak. And I told my wife, I said, man, I mean, that was like, we can do this. You know, I had down before, and I honestly didn't have that confidence that we could do it. And I started writing it down again. I said, we can do this. And that's a gift of faith sometimes. It's just what it is. Your knower finally goes off. Now. It's now, so it's in the know. All of a sudden, now your knower goes off because it's time. Sometimes your no goes off before the time to prepare you, and then it seems like it's after a while you back away because it should have happened by now. Then all of a sudden your knower starts going off because now it's in the now. So you enter into the now season. Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to get out of the way because...